This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World. Good morning. How we doing today, West Alabama? It's The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're checking us out on the Bama Central Facebook page, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. We cannot wait to get into a Tuesday with you guys. It's a bye week Tuesday, but we are ready to have a lot of fun in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all your insurance needs. He's at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. You can call and see how much money he can save you today on your home, life, auto, or renter's insurance. Call him today, 205-758-3391. Get you a fast auto insurance quote. Red is upstairs. He'd love to talk to you about your auto insurance, get you a quote, and see if he can save you some money, see if they can get you a better coverage, local coverage. You want a local agent. When you have an accident, they can send you your car, or send you the right electrician or home repairman real quickly, because they know the people in town. So call Derek Daniel for a local agent at 205-758-3391. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to be joined by former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden here in just a little bit. Slade Bolden's going to help us break down these three Alabama football games that we've seen so far, and if the team can keep things rolling, what it's like playing against the Georgia Bulldogs. Kind of good thing. We'll pick Slade Bolden's brain here in just a bit. But first, we're joined by Mason Woods. Mason Woods back from the weekend, ready for another week, a bye week. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine and read him all his great recruiting work. Alabama having a huge basketball weekend recruiting wise. We'll get a little bit of details on that, but we mostly want to talk to Mason about the game that was, and we want to see if he's wanting to change his opinions now after Ty Simpson's two good games. But that's kind of what we're going to do today. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Good morning, Mason. How we doing?
I'm doing good this morning. Doing good. Yeah, like you said, big weekend for basketball. Three big time recruits on campus. Caleb Holt, and of course, now I am blanking on the other two, and my computer is not wanting to pull them up. it was oh man, I'd have to. My computer is not cooperating with me. Anyway,
Dylan Mingo is one, and was it Terrace Bowie's committed? So
yes, it was in my. I wrote about it earlier in the week.
It's all right. Dylan Mingo and Caleb Holt, and really it's
those
just
are two. Those are the two biggest. The other guy was a four star. Those are the two five stars.
Really, we just want Caleb Holt.
I mean, if you watch Dylan Mingo,
no, but I know Caleb.
You might want to. I think both of those guys, you want both of them. I'm very impressed with both of them. I think Mingo, you know, I think Caleb Holt is a little bit further along in his development maybe than Mingo is. But the upside with Mingo is definitely there, and I'm excited by what both of those guys could maybe bring if you can land both of those commits. So, yeah, big weekend for basketball. We will hopefully see what this brings this week. I think Caleb Holt, from everything I've seen, had a good time this weekend. You know, he talked to some other people and, you know, said some good things about his time in Tuscaloosa.
Well, exciting. I mean, couldn't have come to a better game. Everything went very smoothly for Alabama, 38-14.
How much strategy for Nados do you think really goes into like which games he invites these kids to? Because obviously it's a scheduling thing, you know, when is the kid available? But, you know, if it had been, hey, coach, I can only be there for the hardest game of the season, you think he's like, well, maybe we just push off going to a football game.
No, I mean, you want to take them to the heart of, because the stadium atmosphere is going to be lit.
Yes.
And if Alabama loses anyways, well, you saw a great stadium.
True. It's not like he's a football player. He don't really care that much anyway, I guess.
Exactly. So I think it first comes down to availability, and then it comes down to these are the home weekends we have if you want to see a football game. And if you come during a football game weekend, we'll go.
Melissa's, my wife was at the game. She does the game day partner thing, so she was working. It was amazing. She basically told me she just got to sit there and watch the game. She had to sit in the student section and make sure everybody stayed in line, and luckily they did, so she didn't really have to do a whole lot. But she was talking to me about saw Nate Oates walking up the steps at one point with a trio of basketball, looking like basketball recruits, very tall gentleman behind him.
Tell her next time to snap a photo and send it to you we're still growing. We're still growing. But next time she sees him, snap a photo, then you can use it and tweet it. Nate Oates walking into Bryant Denny Stadium with Caleb Holt and Dylan Mingo, and your Twitter blow up.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Does she have a set of handcuffs, some pepper spray, some a baton that she has to keep the student section in line?
I wish, honestly, because some of those kids get crazy down there, but they just it's mostly just you see it and you report it, and then that person has to bring in the tools and things.
All right, can we get her to report something that's not necessarily behavioral related?
Is it the shirts? I think she did say something about it. Not like to anybody there, but to me, But.
What need to be doing is confiscating every baby blue shirt that is in Bryant Denny Stadium. Every single one of them. Just, nope, you got to go shirtless today, son. Well, I didn't do my push-ups. My pecs aren't real good. Nope, I don't care. You chose to wear the baby blue shirt into Bryant Denny Stadium. It's 2 weeks in a row where the whole student section is just littered with this baby blue. And look, sky blue is a great color.
It's not Alabama's color.
It's great for church. It's great for a date. It's great for a business meeting. It's great for class. It's great
for... I'll be honest, I'm against all of them.
All right, that's fine.
Who decided that we needed to make blue Alabama shirts? Why are we doing this?
I don't know. Look, baby blue is one of my favorite colors. It is.
Just buy a baby blue shirt.
And... The justification I get is, well, there's an Alabama A on the breast, on the chest. And it's like...
You buy a white, gray, or black Alabama shirt.
Yes! White, gray, black, crimson. Like, something that's going to look good in the stand. Something that's going to create unity and create togetherness and let everybody know, hey, I'm pulling for the Crimson Tide today. Look, you look like Ole Miss fans.
Yeah, I started off as like not caring about this a couple years ago, but I have been radicalized by you, and it does upset me every time I see it because it is so pervasive.
Yeah, right.
It's like it is a good 40 at least percent of, probably about 40% of the student section at least is rocking that blue.
And somebody's like, "Well, Joe, you see the freshman in the navy blazers, it's the same thing." I was like, "No, it's not. The freshman in navy blazers
very obvious."
Those guys are like rushing.
Yeah,
they're
very clear what they're doing.
Right. They're part of an organization, and that's their little... And they're all in shirt and ties. And their ties, what color are their ties? Red. Like, they're all wearing red ties. And so a navy blazer, maybe I've just been conditioned my whole life, is just like, oh, nice attire. It's not... You're wearing a baby blue polo.
At Auburn, they wear the orange ones. It's not like,
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is bad. But it's not like, It's like Navy is ubiquitous with necessarily like other schools or anything. It's like you said, it's just nice. It just looks nice.
That baby blue, to me, the last 2 weeks I've tweeted, the Ole Miss fans and the Bryant is like, what are you doing?
I don't understand it.
Think about it. Think about it for 2 seconds. When you're that's the issue, is the guys are thinking about, well, this is my only clean polo. Then wear a t-shirt. I don't care. Wear a t-shirt. That is old man yells at cloud. It's drives like me crazy.
And this one doesn't necessarily upset me. I mean, it does sometimes, but it's like when you see the fans that just get this weird, like off the wall, fake alternate color jersey that is the team has never worn before. And it's like, where'd you get this from? Yes. It's like, whatever. A lot of times, sure, I guess they
off-brand Reebok website.
They've been tricked into getting it, maybe, but man, I just don't get it. If you're gonna go support a team, wear the team's colors.
That's the point.
And not even necessarily wear the team's colors, but don't wear colors that are like a direct opponent.
Right. I was in the press box and Will Miller was telling me to calm down. And he's like, I wore a baby blue shirt the last time. And I was like, you're a fool. And he goes, I might have worn it against Ole Miss. And I was like, you're an extra fool. And I said, what if he was the one who, well, they have the Alabama A on, or it says Crimson Tide on the chest. And I said,
in like the tiniest little text right, ever.
What if they, Christopher Mobley needs to put out orange shirts and just slap the Alabama A on there. And like, it's the same exact concept.
Yeah.
Well, that orange shirt's got an Alabama A on, bro. It's a good looking polo. You should wear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
I don't like it either. It does upset me. And maybe it is old man yells at cloud, but I think it's just dumb.
Tell Melissa next game, so that's like October 4, to just berate these young men. Just berate them. What are you doing? You pulling for old hotty toddy. Just tell her as they walk past her to give her hotty toddy, hotty toddy, hotty toddy.
Oh, man. There's nothing we can do about it because the shirts are out there.
Right.
The brain rot
has taken hold.
We have to come up with a better option for them to wear, but obviously the existing team colors are not good enough for. So
how about white?
What's a color that isn't really in the SEC that we could go to? You know,
green.
I was going to say, can we do green?
Lime green.
All right, lime green. That's going to be bad. That's going to be tough ugly to look at. I could maybe see like a Kelly green. And you just slap a little out. I remember they used to make like Braves hats in green or like Red Sox hats in green a little while back. Maybe the same concept can apply here because, you know, we don't have to deal with green for many. You're not going to clash. You're not going to look like anybody else's fans necessarily if you're wearing
disgusting
green.
Melissa, just give them all a hottie toddy as they walk back and they'll look at you confused. But the more you do it, they'll start to put it together. Mm-hmm. White is fine, fellas. You want to wear a lighter color. You don't like crimson. White is fine.
Yeah, I mean, gray is fine. It's hot in there. You know, I get that.
Yes, I understand. Well, gray is cool too. Even though gray is not directly in the color wheel, it's like neutral. It's pretty neutral.
Yeah, I think it's close. I think it's good enough. Mm-hmm. It makes its way into all of the horrific concept uniforms that you see.
Ugh, disgusting.
I saw a little bit of clamoring for the white helmets once again from somebody on Twitter this weekend. I can't remember who it was.
I'm game with the white helmets.
I'd be okay with it.
On the road.
My only issue is that, yeah, you have to wear it on the road. And, like, I don't love being a team with this, like, we've had the same uniform for, you know, Alabama tradition. I don't love that, oh, we'll do a one-off alternate uniform, but it's going to be a road game. Because then, who's it for? You know, it's for the fans, and, like, you'd have to do it in front of the fans, so... But it would feel weird wearing white and Brian Denny. So I don't really know that the white helmet's going to happen.
SEC championship, just do it whether you're wearing white or crimson.
Yeah, it could be cool, maybe.
Yeah, postseason effect. Well, Mason, are you ready to come to the right side? 38-14. Mm-hmm. Let me pull up my stat broadcast. 38-14, four touchdown passes, right? Is that
I
right?
I believe so.
38-14 events for Alabama. Click. He went almost for 400 yards, 382. Is that right?
I think that was the right number.
Goodness gracious. And just honestly, the numbers are great.
Mm-hmm.
24-29, 382, four touchdowns, six carries, led the team in rushing with 25 yards.
Yeah, that's atrocious.
But so he was dominant. But really, it was just the ease, the control, the just driver seat, orchestrator-esque performance. Ty Simpson destroying the Wisconsin Badgers 38-40 and only let down by drive. He would have had a fifth touchdown pass if old Ryan Williams would have caught the ball in the end zone, and they would have stayed on the field for that last drive if Lozier Brooks catches that ball on third down. So he's played by two more drops, so he would have gone over 400 yards.
He looked really good against that FCS defense.
FCS defense, they're leading the nation in rush defense, aren't they?
He looked great against that FCS defense. Ty Simpson looked great. But let's not act like he played, you know, the Patriots or anything out there. He played an objectively bad team. He played a really bad team, a team that's probably only going to win 2, 3, maybe 4 games this season. The real test will happen when he plays a real defense. Right now, his track record against real defenses is not great. He looked pretty bad week one. me and you discussed it. I even was generous in giving him like a what did I give him, a C+, and you were even lower than that. So he hasn't looked good when he's been tested this year. We will see. He will be tested against Georgia, and you know that will determine if he's actually settled in and found his rhythm this season or not. It's easy to beat up on bad teams. Now he has beat up a lot on these bad teams.
He beat them up.
But it, you know, it's easy to do that when all of your receivers are 2, 3, 4 steps faster than every other guy on the field. Admittedly, you know, it's impressive that he was able to do it without establishing any bit of running game. But again, when your receivers are just, you know, I mean, it's 4.4s compared to 4.8s out there. Like, you know, it's your receivers are just better than everyone on the field. It's the Mac Jones conundrum.
Wisconsin, Wisconsin fourth overall still after this game in rushing defense and 31st overall in total defense.
Mind you, those games came against Miami of Ohio, MTSU, and now Alabama.
Yeah, so they're sitting right behind Florida State in total defense. Florida State at 30, Florida State at 30, Wisconsin at 31 now.
Florida State making Mac Jones look mundane, or sorry, Ty Simpson.
That was well done. That was well done. He's better than Mac Jones.
I think he is. I don't know, though. Mac looked pretty good this weekend.
Yes. Did they win? Did they even win?
I truly don't remember. I think they did. I mean, he threw like 3 or 4 touchdowns. They had to have won.
Let's see. NFL, because basically I watched 2.5 quarters of the NFL and then turned it off for the rest of the week.
I can't blame you.
I was like, I'm done with this. Cannot blame you with this hooey right here. Mac Jones, 49ers 30. 49ers won 26-21 over the Saints. Mac Jones, 26 of 39, 279, 3 touchdowns.
Man, the Saints are 0-2, but I got to say, as bad as I really thought they were going to be this year, they have been in 2 very close games.
Mac Daddy getting it done. So what's it going to take? Like, come on.
He has
382.
He doesn't have to throw for 382 against Georgia, but you have to play a good game. You didn't play a good game against Florida State.
In his first start.
Okay. Can he, if he does that again against Georgia, it's his fourth start.
Right. Well, right. The standards are a little higher going into the Georgia game than they were with the Florida State game. But your first touchdown pass to Jeremy was some of the, like, most A-plus quarterback play you could have. And especially talking about it after the game, he's sitting there talking, well, we knew if they had this look, you'd get Brooks and Edwards clearing out, and then you get Jeremy on the deep end cut. And he was like, it was like, oh, you know what's going on, man. You know what's going on. And you delivered the football on time. Like, some of the throws, he layered the throw into Ryan Williams two different times.
Nice, but he's playing against a defense that's moving in with their feet in honey. They're like, he's playing in slow motion compared to what he's going to see against Georgia.
Yeah.
The windows are a lot wider.
Have you looked at the Georgia secondary yet? Mm. Pretty not hot. Not so hot.
Yeah. They've so not far. Looked as great.
Chris Brazel ripped their rear ends pretty good.
It is still going to be a remarkable jump in competition from what you have faced the last 2 weeks.
Yes, it will. It will.
The windows are going to be a lot tighter against Georgia.
Okay, so how confident are you, 1 to 10, that he, 10 being the most, that he can replicate or, you know, play somewhat close to what he's been doing the last 2 weeks?
6.5.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So Mason's not a huge hater. Come on. 6.5 is good.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'll play fine.
I think he's going to play pretty good.
I hope he does.
7.5, 8 is where I'm sitting.
I hope that he does. I've said this the entire time. I hope that he proves me wrong, but he hasn't yet. He's looked bad against the only good defense he's faced all year.
Well,
am I wrong?
Bad is a little harsh, I think.
Maybe.
He looked inexperienced to me.
Okay.
He looked
the guy that's been in college for 7 years looked inexperienced.
He hadn't played.
Whose fault is that?
Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer's.
It's always the coach's
fault. That's right. That's right. They chose Jalen Milroe over him. They chose Bryce Young over him. Why would you do that?
Being this inexperienced this far into your college career is not a plus.
Sure. But I don't think he looked necessarily bad. He didn't turn the football over. He didn't throw wild throws against Florida State.
He threw some pretty bad throws.
Inaccurate as far as, oh, that ball needs to be out in front of him. But not wild, like,
sure.
You threw
put
that
the ball in harm's way
in triple
much.
Coverage.
Yeah,
You didn't throw across your body.
Because he was too scared to really take chances.
Right. That was exactly right. He played afraid. He didn't play stupid.
Sure.
And there's a little difference, I think.
Yeah. Both are bad.
Didn't throw across his body, wild throw.
What if he might play afraid against Georgia? Both are bad. Stupid and afraid are both bad quarterbacks. I don't want either of them quarterbacking my team.
I've seen them all in Chicago. Yeah, stupid and afraid.
I've seen them all, too, in Tennessee. They're both terrible.
Oh, gosh, terrible. Well,
we have a savior now, though.
That was a stupid throw.
It was awesome.
That was stupid.
Oh, but he did it, though. He did it.
Dropped
it right in the bucket.
Do you care if they play stupid, if their arm talent is just like...
I don't care.
Like, if their arm talent enough, matches the stupidity.
Yeah, if you're good enough, you can do whatever the hell you want. This is the conversation we've been having for 3 weeks now. If you're good enough, you get to do what you want. But you better be dang good. Because the moment that, you know, that stupid outweighs the good, it's going to all come crashing down around you.
All right, Mason, we wanted to take Everett's voicemail before we get to Slade Bolden. So let me load this guy back in here. Everett calling on the voicemail line. You guys can use the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Here's Everett on the voicemail
line. Guys, this is Everett from Marion, Worldwide, of course, and just want to hear y'all's final thoughts on the rest of the regular season. Thank you for everything. Bye.
Final thoughts on the rest of the season, Mason. What are you feeling? You're two and one. You're going into the SEC schedule now. The Vanderbilt Commodores look like a team I do not want to play at all. Not even one down.
No.
South Carolina, road trip to South Carolina. Look a little easier.
Okay. Yeah, looking pretty fine on that one. I don't think Lenore Sellers is out long term or anything. Not that, you know, like I'm rooting for that, but that would definitely affect the outcome of that game. I do think he'll probably be there, but I still think they look very, very beatable through the first 2 weeks of the season. Let's see. I don't know. I'm feeling like 9-3. But I don't think 9-3 is going to be bad. Normally it would be, but I think we might be looking at two lost teams at the top of the SEC. Like, everybody looks pretty beatable right now. Nobody looks, in the SEC at least, like a real dominant force in the league. Tennessee and Georgia, I mean, that was a telephone booth, Matt. Like, it was, they were just fighting in a box. It was, you know, electrifying and everything, but like, I don't really think that either team is necessarily that much better than the other one. They played so close.
Tennessee's good.
I still think Georgia's pretty good. Yeah. I think Texas might be good. I'm really not that sure, to be honest. They look soft. Arch doesn't look that great.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Arch is getting the yips. I'll own that.
He looks pretty bad. I think a lot of, you know, LSU, I don't think is that great. You get 5 turnovers against Florida, you score 20 points. That's a
terrible offense.
And then Brian Kelly is, you know, angry at reporters about asking about it.
Did you see him apologize?
Oh, good. That helps.
Yeah.
That makes you look like so much of a better person, Brian Kelly.
Before we get this press conference going, I just want to take a moment to address whatever his name is. He and I have already texted privately, but I wanted to publicly apologize. You know, after a game, I'm very emotional, and I just wanted to defend my players. And the emotions of the game were pretty high. So officially, I apologize to... I can't remember the guy's name. And
showed his true colors. That's okay. We all saw it, Brian Kelly.
Yes. Turd.
But yeah, no, the SEC as a whole, the top end of the SEC, a lot of those teams look pretty beatable, and I would not be shocked to see maybe the top two teams with two losses or so apiece. So I don't necessarily think that 9-3 is going to be all that bad.
Yeah, losing to Georgia and Vanderbilt back-to-back week.
You know, it might happen.
We're sleeping on this road trip to Missouri.
This Missouri team is dang good, man. That's another team. A lot of teams in the SEC are good this year. A lot of teams that, you know, I think can surprise other teams.
Mason Woods, no crimson colored glasses here. Everett Osmer complimenting that. Is it going to be three in a row? You go Georgia.
I don't think you get three in a row.
Vanderbilt, Missouri.
That could be tough.
What a world are we? What kind of world are we living in Tuscaloosa? If this team loses three in a row and Drug is 2-4.
I don't know. I don't know.
You'll have fights on McFarland Boulevard.
Yeah. I mean, there will be fires in the streets, like telephone poles knocked over, cars driven.
No courtesy at all.
Storefront. It'll be riots.
I said thank you.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I think 9-3 is where I'm at with this team right now.
There's no way they drop three in a row, Georgia, Vandy, Missouri.
But I think two in a row, Georgia, Vandy is unfortunately very real.
There's, you know, they don't come into Bryant Denny Stadium.
I'm not going to say two in a row, but I think two out of those three is very real.
They don't come to Bryant Denny Stadium and win, do they?
I Diego Pavia might be like that.
He really is. He is. Really, really is.
That man is the best worst quarterback of all time.
Yes. And like, I wish that I still had athletic eligibility. I would go walk on at Vanderbilt for a minute.
He gets me fired up.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Something about him. He's just got it.
Right. And like, after spending time around him in Atlanta, I was like, no wonder these people play like madmen for him.
Yeah.
Like, and he just, the way he speaks, it just like touched a place deep in my soul. It's like, yeah, I want to be a madman too. And it's like,
yeah, Clark Lee has him a team that is, every member of that team is ready to lay their body on the line for the man beside them. And that's a dangerous football team.
Golly. And they just, we don't care, South Carolina. We don't care about Sandstorm. Right in your face. All night long. In your face.
That game was awesome.
So
I do. Man, I love that. I love this Vanderbilt team.
Yes, they're good. They're good. They're mean. They play football the right way. And they're, you know, it's Tim Beck, right? The offensive coordinator. He is creative. They're doing all kinds of stuff to mess with your eyes. And then it's like, once you get your eyes in the right place, it's right. Yeah. I'm smacked in the face once my eyes are actually in the right place.
You know, he's got a decent class this year, but once the recruiting really starts to pick up a bit, I am very, very excited to see what Clark Lee can do there. I think he is building a monster in Nashville, Tennessee.
Which
is just an insane. It's wild. Yeah. I cannot fathom it.
Oh, so that being said, no matter what happens in Athens, if the team loses, whatever. Like, if the team loses bad, whatever. They're going to need all 100,000 of you in Bryant Denny Stadium. And they're going to need all 100,000 of you not in baby blue shirts. They're going to need all wear black. I mean, wear black if you want to. I know Vanderbilt black and black and gold. Just, they're going to need all of you to be yelling at Pavia. Like, that can't be a game where the Alabama fan sits on their hands and says, impress me. I'll clap once you score a touchdown or get a sack.
Yeah.
That needs to be a game where I'm going to clap and yell so that you get a touchdown or a sack.
I'm going to need Vandy to, who do they play this weekend?
They got bad teams until they play Alabama, don't they?
I was going to say, I need them to keep moving up in the poll here.
Yeah, they're at 20. They got two bad teams, don't they?
Because everyone needs to know how good they are, because I'm sure that there are a lot of Alabama fans, like you're talking about, the ones that sit on their hands in the stadium and wait until the team does anything to stand up and cheer.
Home with Georgia, Georgia State, home with Utah State.
At Georgia State, that's that revenge game.
That's right. So you got Georgia State and Utah State before they come to town.
Okay. They get to tune up a little bit. But yeah, just people need to know how good this team is. It is not Vanderbilt. It's not your daddy's Vanderbilt. They are not. They are a good football team, and they will come in here and beat Alabama if they're not careful.
Oh. So DeBoer doesn't lose home games, so I'm feeling good about that. Look at these road games. I think Georgia's still dangerous. I think Missouri has a really strong backfield.
That quarterback, too, is, I like him. He's good.
Yeah, so the defense is going to have to be on their P's and Q's. I know Kane Womack was down in Mobile last night at an event talking about getting the defense fixed and getting right. We have to get it fixed. We're going to get it fixed. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's fixed. It is fixed. We'll see, really.
Gunnar Stockton sure does like to run.
That, and Gunnar Stockton's a gamer.
Yeah.
Gunnar Stockton. Like,
I mean, another guy, like, not a great quarterback, but a good, a gamer. That's like exactly like you said. He's a dog.
4th and 15 in the face of 100,000 Tennessee fans, and he just drops in the bucket. And that pass was that, but it's a perfect pass. And so London Humphreys, or London
plays
Humphreys,
his best when he absolutely needs to.
Oh, yo. So Georgia, at Missouri, at South Carolina, At Auburn, those are the last road games, right? Because LSU and Oklahoma are at home. Oklahoma here is going to be another one. Like, John Mateer looks like they're clicking. It's going to be a brutal home. It's going to be a brutal SEC schedule.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly why. Like,
8-4.
I don't think it's off the table, but I don't think that that's going to be horrific in the SEC. Like a lot of these teams, I mean, I haven't looked exactly at everybody's schedule. You know, so obviously some people get easier schedules than other people. So, you know, some of these teams might have a nice path to 10-2 or something, but with the SEC, there's a lot of good teams. I mean, there's probably, we just ran through, you know, what, 5-6 teams that are all pretty daggum good.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Oh, yeah. I could see the SEC cannibalizing itself a bit this year.
Unbelievable. So
it's just a crazy concept.
Everett, appreciate the voicemail. You can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. So we will continue the week. I think tomorrow we're going to be joined by Kirk McNair. Kirk McNair, former Alabama SID, worked for Coach Bryant for a time and then has been in sports media longer than I've been alive. So I'm really, really looking forward to being joined by Kirk McNair. But today we're going to turn our attention to Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver, is joining us now. He's in the backstage. Let me hit a small break, and then we'll be joined by Slade Bolden. We're going to talk about his career just a little bit and what he sees in this Alabama football team through 3 weeks. We'll ask him the question that Everett just threw out there. What does the rest of the season look like after Alabama's bye week? You got two good performances, but lots and lots of danger ahead. We'll do that right after a break. We'll talk to Slade Bolden. But first, I want to remind you this program is brought to you by Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance. We're in the Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance studios. You can call Derek for your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniels is there for your home, life, auto insurance needs. You can call him at 205-758-3391. I saw Red's car in the driveway upstairs when we pulled in, so he's ready to take your phone call. It'll take you just a few minutes to get an auto insurance quote. I know my man Theo already did. He's on our Monday programs, and he told me, he came in here, he goes, Joe, I'm going to save like $200 a month. And I was like, wow, Theo, great job, man. So you can call Derek and see how much he can save you today at 205-758-3391.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
All right, let's do it. Let's have a lot of fun. We want to welcome Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver, right here at the Capstone. Good morning, Slade. How we doing, sir?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Mason. Thank y'all so much for having me. I'm doing just fine. How y'all living?
Oh, we're living great. We're having a great Tuesday. It's a bye week, so it's pretty low-key for us. You guys can follow Slade Bolden at @_Slade_10 on the Twitter machine. Did you have him on Instagram, Mason, a minute ago? You can follow him on all the social medias just by typing in Slade Bolden. And he played here, won a national championship here for the Crimson Tide, and really, really is one of the more popular players in the later part of the Saban era. So I really, really appreciate your time today, sir. Slade, before we get into football and stuff, why don't you give an update to the people what you're up to these days?
Man, first of all, thank y'all for having me. You know, it's been a tough year, I would say. It's probably been a year and a few months now that I fully kind of transitioned out of football. Naturally, you know, I still get opportunities like this and get to, you know, I'm starting my own kind of deal, being able to just kind of make up reasons selfishly to talk about football still, because I still love it and it's my passion. But yeah, I'm very cliche, typical post-athletic career. I'm in insurance. I work for a company called Higginbotham out here in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's funny because, you know, obviously I thought I was going to play in the league for 10 years and that's all I knew. There was no plan B, and the Lord had a different path for me, and I came across this company through connections, through great people. And it's so funny because I didn't realize you could actually work for a company and kind of be your own boss, but also, create financial and generational wealth. So I'm very thankful and blessed, no doubt. But it's been tough, let me tell you. It's not really the work, because that work never goes anywhere and you always have to do it. It's more of I went from wearing sweats and slides and J's to suits and slacks every day. So, and polos every now and then. Naturally, I'll be heading to the office after this podcast. But yeah, just different world. But, you know, I still take everything I did on the field and learn through the process with Coach Saban and playing football over the years to what I do now. So it takes time, but I'm very, very thankful.
Slade, you mentioned wearing polos. I'll get your opinion on the small rant I had at the beginning of the show. I look up in the student section over the last 3 years, and I see the baby blue, the sky blue polos with the Alabama A on the chest, and it just drives me absolutely crazy. I don't know why, but I just try. Like, it's a perfect shirt for date. It's a perfect shirt for work. It's a perfect shirt for church. But in the stadium, drives me crazy. As a former player, do you have any opinion at all, or do you not care?
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people that come to the games just come to the games to just be there and have fun. They don't really necessarily come to watch. So if you're there to fully support the team and the players and the coaches and just the, you know, Crimson Tide in general, you know, I don't really necessarily care what you're wearing, but I can see where you're coming from because that powder blue, little Ole Miss. So I get it. But I just like the way this shirt looks. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to
get it. Oh, it's a good look for anywhere else. It's one of my favorite colors. Anywhere else, it's a great shirt.
Yeah. No, I get it. Trust me. But no, I mean, at the end of the day, hey, if you're locked in on the game, you're not just there to party and, you know, for a social event, man, by all means, wear what you want, as long as you're wearing crimson. And if you ain't, you know the rest.
That's it kind of takes me perfectly into something I did want to ask you about. So, you know, obviously we all know that if you ain't wearing crimson, you know, so on and so forth. You know, that attitude obviously was very present on Nick Saban's football teams. I think, you know, we all saw it as fans. We all saw it covering those teams. Just that, you know, attitude of, hey, we're Alabama and we're going to do what we're going to do. And we don't really care about anybody else outside of this building. You know, that's kind of been some of the criticism, I think, with this year's team is that maybe we don't see that attitude as much. What have you seen maybe from this year's team that either A, leads you to believe that there is still some of that attitude there, or B, maybe it's, you know, missing?
Well, that's the thing is from that first game, that was my initial worry, was just the overall mentality of the team and how, look, wins, losses, it happens. You know, we're not going to win and be perfect, especially in this new world. I think it's such a challenge for coaches and players to prepare, you know, leading up to every week, trying to figure out exactly how to prepare for different teams, whether from a defense or offensive standpoint, because of all the different movements and NIL and transfer portal. But I just, at the end of the day, I wanted to see some juice, you know, some tenacity and just, you know, viciousness from the defense. I just didn't see that. And that was my biggest concern. But look, we can't look at this as a Saban team as much as we want to. And I know, obviously, just from my personal experience, what I think a Bama standard and team should play like, you know, it's hard not to think that way. But, you know, I feel like every coach, whether it's the Bill Belichick way, the Nick Saban way, Mike Leach, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, all these different coaches coach differently. The way they go about their preparation, the way they their mindset is and how they, you know, translate that to their players. But at the end of the day, if you have a recipe for success, whatever that recipe looks like, as long as you have the right ingredients, right, the right coaching staff, the right players in that locker room, and everybody's bought into that recipe and keeping the secret sauce, and that recipe is a result of success, then you'll have success. And I know that DeBoer's had success. So it's just a 180 from what I have personally, and we all have personally experienced with Coach Saban and even years in the past with Bama teams. You know, it's just a different team, but I still want to see that same mentality, because we still have guys on that team that played under Saban and some of the guys that I played with my last year that were freshmen. And that's my biggest worry. But, and there's always a but, I think based off how we have responded from week one to week two, look, we get it, ULM, not the most competitive team, but they still got athletes. You still got to, you know, pick up your blocks, you know, not have any missed assignments, throw the ball down the field, execute, you know, not get your eyes lost in the backfield as a linebacker, you know, just make plays. So, like, you still have, you know, things that you can work on, even though the team is not as competitive. So I was loving the fact of how we responded. Ty Simpson just absolutely playing lights out. you know, our offense is running on all cylinders, and to get a shutout at any time is unbelievable. And then we go and play Wisconsin, and we probably should have had another shutout, you know, just like one special teams issue. And then we had a one big explosive play by a good receiver, and it was just a great play. It is what it is. So I just think the way we responded from week one to week two, and then continue to build off that momentum to week three, I think we're just in a perfect spot coming off this bye week, getting some guys back that have been banged up. You know, you get an extra week to prepare for a really good Georgia team. Honestly, though, at the end of the day, I think we need to get knocked in our teeth one more time. I do think we need to probably, you know, get, you know, go through some more trials and tribulations, because I still feel like there's some things we need to work on and figure out, and it needs to adjust. But I do think the guys responded. They understood, you know, the overall just vibe from all the fans and you know, all the different negative things that came out. I do think they responded from a mentality standpoint in the best way possible, because you definitely saw a difference from week one to week two to week three. So I think we're on a good track. Now we got a hell of a schedule in front of us, but honestly wouldn't mind getting, you know, put on our backs one more time just to kind of, you know, reset again, and just kind of that we always would come back after a big, you know, or a tough loss, or, you know, a close game when we should have just blown out that opponent. We always, you know, that poor team we played next, you know, it was always something. So I think we're going into this Georgia week, you know, off the bye week in a perfect time. But I'm excited just because from an offensive mind and an offensive guy, just how we're playing on offense, how Ty's playing, how the receivers are playing. You know, there's still some things I think we need to work on from an interior O-line standpoint. But I'm really liking what we're doing right now from execution. And that's all I wanted to see, too. And then, you know, our overall mentality looks a lot better as well.
We're talking to Slade Bolden, 68 receptions during his time at the Capstone, 712 yards, 4 touchdowns, national champion. Slade, you experienced a couple, not many, but just a couple of losses. After this first week, massive noise on the social media. Lots of this team's the stinks, this guy stinks, these guys aren't trying, X, Y, Z. You know what it's like. The noise was a fever pitch, level 10. And I just want to ask you, how insulated is it in the building to where we don't even hear that? That's not even so, like, doesn't even permeate the building, at least during your time. Obviously, it's just a little different with under Coach DeBoer, but how insulated is the building from the outside noise? And if it's not insulated, how difficult is it to be like, man, I'm not looking at my phone, I'm not looking at Johnny Gump telling me I think? Like, what is it like? How difficult is it for a young man to ignore all the noise and just stay the course?
I mean, it's very difficult. You know, I mean, obviously, we all have one thing in common in this world, and we all have this little cellular device that you can get access to any kind of information immediately, right? And unfortunately, a lot of that becomes negative when things don't go your way. I've been a part of that for me, myself personally, and I'll give you a great example from a team aspect of what I went through under my time with Saban. Is when 2019, you know, we lost to the best LSU team to ever be established, one of the best college football teams ever. We lost to them, probably should have won. And I know I can go back and forth with LSU fans on that, or whoever played there. But I think we still should have won that game. And then we go in, we play Auburn at Auburn. You know how that goes. It's, you never know what's going to happen there. And we, you know, even though Matt came in, balled out, you know, Tua was hurt, you know, it still was some things that wasn't like it was all throughout the first of the year. But I remember after the season, you know, we go to the Citrus Bowl and we don't, you know, make the playoffs, and everybody's like, oh, Saban should retire. This is not the Bama of old. You know, he's getting old. You know, they're not the same team. And we're all like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, like you don't think that every day we come in here and we don't go to work and we try to improve on the week before, and you don't think we want to win? You don't think we want a championship? So I try not to be a fan. It's funny because I find myself being one now, and you know, try not to, you know, get too caught up in the negative outlooks. But, you know, it's funny because that was some stuff that was being said after the 2019 season. And guess what we did the next year?
Destroyed everybody.
Yeah, ended up being national champion. So, you know, I understand with this team and with the new coach and staff and just this new world college football, like, yeah, like there's some things that I saw that I didn't like, but I also had to take, you know, a seat back and have an understanding, like, look, those guys don't want to lose. Like Coach Saban preached that all the time. Like our players don't want to lose any more worse than you want us to see us lose. So, or you hate the fact that we're losing. So yeah, I think it happens, but what you have to do as a player is, you know, I was always kind of more like, oh yeah, like I loved it. Like I love when people would talk negative about me or the team because I use that as fuel. Now some guys get too caught up in it and it can get to your head, which I'll be completely honest. It has gotten to me before, but you have to understand that, look, I'm confident. I prepare well. I know that every day I get up and I go work out and practice that I'm doing everything I can to put my best foot forward. So when that day comes and Saturday comes and game day comes, I'm ready to roll. I'm confident as I can be, and I've done this a million times, so it's just like second nature. And I think that's where guys have to be able to take that noise, you know, put it away and just be like, man, I've done way too much and I've worked too hard to let somebody who has never been in my shoes determine how I'm going to play. So I think it is tough. You know, you do kind of let those things get to you at times, but I feel like it's pretty kept tight. I don't think we ever really worried about it. You know, if anything, we used it to fuel us for the next game.
You mentioned the new world of college football, and I want to just ask your opinion on just kind of the way things have changed so rapidly over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years here. You kind of got to see maybe the very, very early stages of it right at the end of your college career there. You know, just really like what have you seen? What are the, you know, what do you see as the main differences?
Slade would have made so much money in NIL.
I agree.
What do you see as
the
main
differences between, you know, this year's team, the you know, not even necessarily this year's Alabama team, just this year's group of college football teams, you know, as opposed to the teams that you were kind of playing on and the teams that you grew up playing with?
Yeah, Mace, I'll answer that question. I just got to hit this. It's so funny. When I talk about NIL in this world with, you know, coworkers or friends or old teammates, whatever, I'm just like, man, I'd still be in college if I knew it was going to turn out like this. I'd have came up with a medical, mental year. I don't know. I'd have found some way. I still had 2 more years left, essentially, because of COVID in a fifth year. But it's so crazy because my last year was the first year of NIL, but we had no idea it was going to turn into this. So if I could have had a crystal ball or if I knew the future, yeah, I think I'd have been one of those guys. Oh, he's coming back for his 8th season. I'm like, well, hey, I'm getting paid $500,000. Why wouldn't I? But to answer your question, Mason, I just, you know, there's got to be some kind of guidelines and incentives involved, maybe like contract. My only issue is that it's no longer about how are we going to develop this kid into a better man, to a better player. We're going to get him a degree. We're going to set him up for life after football. And also, what's going to develop him to be the best player that he could be? That way he can have an opportunity in the NFL, which is what's going to pay you more at the end of the day. For the most part. Now, there's some guys getting paid that it's like, okay, that's ridiculous. But that's what I'm worried about. That it's no longer about, you know, the standard of the process, you know, speaking from, you know, saving time, just like that development, you know, developing guys. Now it's all about how much are you going to pay me, which I think just takes away the love that and just the overall things that the game brought you that I am so blessed and thankful to have experienced and be a part of and learn from. And I think that's the biggest issue for me is that you kind of take away like what this game is about. Like, cause I would do this shit for free. You know what I mean? Like I did do it for free because I love the game. And that's the thing that I hope and pray that it doesn't go away, because that takes away just the fun of what this game is about, because look, it is fun. We get to play a kid's game and get paid to do it. So why not enjoy it? Why not have fun? And then also you'll learn a lot of things along the way.
We're hanging out with Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver, talking about this year's Alabama football team. Slade, let's wrap you up. I know you're about to get on to work. Let's wrap you up with the voicemail.
Unfortunately.
We took a voicemail from one of our dedicated listeners, Everett Osmer, and he asked how we saw the rest of the season playing out. Obviously, you won the two games with ULM and Wisconsin, but the SEC slate is ahead. So, Slade, you already talked about maybe taking another loss. Where might you see that loss, or how do you see these next, what is it, nine games playing out for the Crimson Tide?
You know, as much as I love to sit here and say that we went out, we go undefeated, going into playoffs, I hope so. I pray we do. That would be awesome. I just think, what we hit on with this new world, of college football, it almost evens the playing field. I think it's anybody's game, especially in the SEC. And obviously other conferences are looking a lot better too. So we have such a hard schedule, and it's really tough to go into places like Athens and beat a really good Georgia team. If we do, obviously I always think they're little brothers, so I think we still have their number. But I do believe that there is going to be a time where we get punched in the mouth one more time and we just weren't as prepared as the other team. I hope not, but I think possibly one more loss going in the playoffs, which is fine. I'd much rather a two-loss regular season, no SEC title, but we've learned from our mistakes, we've gotten better, and we're healthier going into playoffs. And then that's where it matters the most, when we went out and go win a national championship. That's, to me, what I think could happen. But granted, if we have somewhat fixed all of our problems, which we haven't, no one's ever perfect, and this team's not perfect, but I do think we may take one more L, and that's, we don't take L's, we take lessons. So at the end of the day, no matter what, I think we will learn from it and respond in the best way possible. And I'm liking what I've seen so far, just from week one to week three. So I think these guys, the way they responded has been a great thing to see, because of the fact that, hey, if we can respond that way from a rough week one, I wonder how we would respond from a rough week six or week seven or week eight. You know, we go play LSU, whatever game. You know, I just think that mindset and that mentality of how they responded just shows me that these guys are willing to do whatever it takes to get better.
He's Slade Bolden, and former Alabama wide receiver. Slade, I just looked at my heat map for the podcast, and we actually do have lots of downloads in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. So why don't you tell everybody where you're about to head, if they need insurance, how they can get into contact with you. may as well, if you're with us. We do have listeners in that area. We want to help you out as well for helping us out.
No, I appreciate it. So it's funny, because now that is what I have to do. It's a networking thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still somebody that's going to do whatever I can to take care of people. And I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I actually do help people. And I didn't realize that until probably here recently. But yeah, I'm in our headquarters here at Higginbotham at Fort Worth. Now, it's funny, we've acquired a bunch of brokerage firms throughout the Southeast. So we always call ourselves the SEC of brokerage firms, and I like to call ourselves the Bama of the SEC brokerage firms. So yeah, I'm out here in Fort Worth, and you know, I could drop my number and all that stuff, but I do. Hey, if you find me on Instagram or Twitter, I mean, that's LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn too, baby.
You can do it at Slade S18DE on the Instagram machine, or you can find it underscore Slade underscore 10 on the Twitter machine. Just reach out to him and tell him Roll Tide and see if he can help you out. Slade, thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Thank y'all so much. I appreciate it. You know, obviously I'm open to come back on anytime y'all like.
Absolutely. We are too, man. Have a great day, and we'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Y'all too. God bless. And as always, Roll Tide, baby.
Absolutely. Roll Tide. That's Slade Bolden joining us. I really appreciate it. Mason, another loss coming, but another lesson. It's a lesson.
I wonder if he heard that from Coach Saban. That feels like a Sabanism.
We don't take losses.
We take lessons. I like that. I'm gonna say that to my kid when I'm coaching him in Pee Wee one day.
I think that was great. And Slade Cat would have absolutely raked in a lot of NIL.
Yeah, I believe so. I think, yeah. I hate that he didn't know what it was going to turn into because, like you said, those last 2 years of eligibility, he could have really probably raked it in. Oh, man.
That was a good first conversation with Slade Bolden. We'll have to bring him back on to get deeper into X's and O's.
It's good to hear. You know, I do like AJ McCarron's podcast and things, but he's a little bit of a homer sometimes, I think, with this Alabama team. A little bit eager to pick them and to win out sometimes and things like that. I appreciate that Slade was a bit more of a realist, giving him one more loss on the season because I don't think he's wrong.
Our man Cameron Metzger chiming in on the Facebook machine asking you, are you ready to buy your Ty Simpson jersey?
Not quite. Going to need to see it against Georgia.
275,
two touchdowns, maybe one on the ground.
Yeah, give me a third on the ground.
That would do it. And a win, obviously.
The win. You got to eat it up walking out of Athens.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That would help.
Did you see him? Did you see Ty Simpson clocking in yesterday?
I did. Doing him a shift at Canes.
he said, what did he say?
That's just like the go-to NIL for every kid.
Right.
Because I think Bryce did it too. It was Bryce and Will Anderson, wasn't it, did it? I want to say.
The kid goes, can I get a five-piece chicken? Can I get a roll tide? He goes, I can give you a toast. because they do chicken fingers and toast. He said, I don't have a roll. I can give you toast. And their caption was in Ty's Galusa.
That's pretty good. I wonder if they got that trademarked yet.
But I couldn't tell if he was actually in Petey Hall or if he was at a traditional Raising Cane's, because there's no Raising Cane's in Tuscaloosa except for Petey Hall.
That I know of. Surely he was there, I would imagine.
Can you imagine you're going into Petey, you're getting your lunch, you're getting your lunch, you're ho-humming through the day, you've already done two classes, you got two more later. And I want a four-piece traditional, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's Ty Simpson going, here you go, buddy.
This is going to sound mean.
Don't go for it.
How many people recognized him? I mean, he's only been the quarterback for
eight
three games.
Seven out of ten.
You think that many?
7 out of 10.
I hope so.
And
3 games, you wear your helmet all the time. Like, Bryce got the Heisman ceremony. Everybody knew who Bryce was. Bryce was, I don't know.
But Ty's on Instagram.
That's true. That's fair.
He already did the photo shoot with Innisfree.
He's got him that probably Roback deal or something too, I think.
Right.
With the quarter zips, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say 6, 7 out of 10.
And you got to get him on a commercial like we saw Jalen Milroe and Bryce Young.
Those people are nudging their buddy. Ty Simpson's making our drop.
I was always a big, if I ever saw an athlete while I was on campus, I went out of my way to just not pay them any mind because they get bothered all day. I don't want to bother this guy. Were you go up and just, hey man, roll tide or whatever.
Yeah, my move was always either eye contact. If it depends on where you are. If you're far away, it's eye contact with a head nod. Just that. Yeah, I know who you are. Yep, that. But if you actually are walking past them, it's a roll tide and just keep on walking.
That's the best way to do it.
Don't stop them. Yeah. No need to stop them or anything.
That's the best way to do it.
And very often you get the roll tide as they're walking on by. Like, no big deal. They're going to class. They're going to lunch. They're doing their stuff.
You're seeing them in their own time.
Right. Right. Yeah. No picture, no handshake. No, man, you played such a great game on Saturday. I cannot believe it. How you feel about this?
How many classes do you think Ty is going? I mean, is he graduated yet?
At this point, probably not many. I think he's a redshirt junior,
right?
I think he's a redshirt junior, right?
I think that's right. So he's been, if he's not graduate, which I guess there may be, I'm sure there's some sort of rule around you have to have a certain amount of credit hours to be able to play football. So, I'm sure they've spaced it out enough to where he's got whatever it is.
He's in the building at 4 a.m.
But
he's the first guy in. He's the last guy to leave.
He's on campus one day a week for 45 minutes, and the rest of it is online.
He's the first guy in, last guy to leave. Grinder.
Hey, well, man.
Watch that game over again and watch him.
He looked good.
Watch him change some of the plays at the line of scrimmage.
Sure.
Watch him. You operate the RPO. There was about 4 RPOs.
I just want to see him do that against a defense that matches his receivers for speed.
That's what I was so impressed. I was just so impressed with Ryan Grubb. Just like, dialing with no running game,
he was cooking.
Let's just
he was just puppet master up there in the booth.
these offensive linemen, their athleticism needs to be questioned.
Yeah, they don't move that well.
They pass block pretty well, is what it seems like. We can drop back in our set and anchor and pass block pretty well. I'll give them A-, you know, so far. But getting to the second level in the run game, moving somebody out of their spot.
Got lead in their feet.
Right, and they're tripping over each other. Like, there was so many times that the initial part of the run game on Saturday, the initial blocks, oh, good, you're in the right spot, you're in the right spot, you're in the right, like, all five of you, you're in the right spot. And then it wasn't one specific player.
Yeah.
It was every play except for Parker. Parker barely ever had an error.
He never does.
But the other four, so just pick one. It's just like whack-a-mole. One of them was going to randomly be too far over there, you know, they're too far over the hips and fall off their guy and, you know, be, oh, I'm on the ground. And, man,
yeah, now instead of it being an 8-yard carry, it's a 4-yard carry.
Right. Yeah. My guy's actually making the tackle on
I don't know
if it's an eyes issue, like we're not looking to the right place, or if it's we just need more time to get our tracks down.
That's what I'm wondering, because seemingly, at least, there was a lot of rotating throughout the spring, and then especially there was in the fall as well. And I just wonder if these guys still just don't have good chemistry together.
I know you read my piece yesterday morning.
I did.
7 different combinations on 9 drives.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like a lot to me.
That's a lot. That's a whole lot. I just wonder if it's a chemistry thing.
The first three drives, the same combination. And then, ironically, the very last play, the Jeremy Bernard touchdown, the last drive, the last play of drive 3, Michael Carroll comes in, touchdown. Carroll and then they sub in Jaden Roberts for drive number 4. And then from there, it's just like every drive, the combination just looked a little different, And like, yes, it's the same players. I mean, Vandermark's out there and all these, but Vandermark's swapping around, Dewberry's coming out, you know.
They're very obviously trying to find the combination that works best. They have not found it yet, which is concerning.
I think they found it.
I hope so. I hope they found it at the end of last week's game.
I think they found it with
Michael Carroll at right tackle.
Carroll and Roberts. Yeah. And you just say, Dewberry, you just stay right here, buddy. As soon as somebody taps their helmet, they're tired. You can go on in.
I hate it for Wilkin.
Wilkin, you stay right here too, because Michael Carroll's going to get overwhelmed in about 4 plays here. And then you go in there, give him 2 plays off, let him take a breather. Like, yeah. I would use Geno the rest of the year as utility for all 3 interior spots. Somebody loses a helmet, somebody gets tired, somebody jams a finger, you know, somebody's sweating too much in their eyes, whatever it is. And then I would use Wilkin. I would still use Wilkin, but I would be pretty willing to go one on, one off, one drive on, one drive off with Wilkin and Michael Carroll. I would be, because I think Michael just needs time and development.
Yeah.
And I think that, but I don't want to see him, hey man, you're the starter and it's just you. You're about to get drowned out there by the SEC edge rushers. Dylan Stewart
is about to give you mundane against Vanderbilt.
Well, the Commodores will come right at your face.
I worry about Wilkin. I just not have it, you know. I mean, he's okay.
Strong.
But, yeah, he's strong. His footwork's not really there.
Right.
You know, he kind of, like you said, he's tripping over himself. And, yeah, he's leaning over too much. He's not really getting his feet under him. I don't know that, you know. He's not really reached the level that I had hoped for this season.
Well.
Michael Carroll looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, so far against dog water competition. Sure. So we'll see what happens next week against the Georgia Bulldogs. All right, so let's wrap this baby up. We're going to get out of here for the day. I want to thank Slade Bolden again. I can't thank him enough, taking time out from his morning. I know morning routines are pretty sacred to a lot of people, and so he broke his morning routine to be on with us before he went into work. So I really, really appreciate that. Look him up on the social media machines. You can just type in Slade Bolden wherever you are on social media, and you'll be able to find him and just give him a like, give him a follow, that sort of thing. Follow Mason Woods at MA Woods_ on the Twitter machine, myself at Joe Gaither 6. We're going to try to reconfirm with Kirk McNair for tomorrow. And if that's not a name you're familiar with, then get familiar with it. Kirk McNair covered the Alabama Crimson Tide for longer than I've been alive. He was a student assistant with Coach Bryant. He worked with Coach Bryant as a SID. So he's been with the program and covering the program for ages on end. And I cannot wait to pick his brain. We got to figure out what Coach Bryant – we got to ask him. Well, I'll look in the annals today. What year did Coach Bryant lose the first game, and what happened after? How did Coach Bryant get things back on track? What was the mentality? That sort of thing. So we'll really get inside Kirk McNair's brain tomorrow on the program. And I think we'll have Mac Hereford on Thursday. We're trying to fill up the week and just kind of give you some extra juice. Instead of doing 2 weeks of, will this team beat Georgia? Is the team going to beat you? Are they good enough? Are you man enough to beat the Georgia Bulldogs? We'll do a lot of that towards Friday on into next week. You can follow the show on Bama Central's Facebook page, YouTube channel. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts, Red Circle, Bubble, any place on the podcast platform. The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.